says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, you know, thanksgiving sounds like something. Enter into his courts with praise. Praise sounds like something. Let's begin to worship him. We're loving him. Praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise
him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise
him. Praise him. Praise him.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within. Bless your holy name.
And it changed everything. So I'm thankful for that. But that word in Romans 10:15 taking that word saying is the word, the Greek word, sozo. It's New Testament written, S-O-Z-O. And it doesn't just mean spiritual salvation. It means to call the name of the Lord and be saved from whatever you're going through. And sozo is a complete salvation. Jesus' work on the cross was a complete redemption. It wasn't just so that he would die and go to heaven. It was so that he would live the zoe, not the life, here on earth. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. That word life in the Greek is the word zoe. It means the life of God or the life like God enjoys. The Bible says Jesus came to give you a life like God. You say, I can't accept that, Pastor Mike. Well, then why did Jesus pray, thy Father, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven? He said, we want the kingdom of God and what's going on in heaven to invade the earth. What is that talking about? Peace, joy, healing, prosperity, victory, long life, health, vibrancy, victory, all those things are going on. You say, well, I'm not experiencing that. That's why we preach in peace to one. Not just because the word says something doesn't mean it will come to pass in your life. There's a lot of things the Bible says that you have to grab a hold of and take them for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, we're in the right place. That's a good introduction right there.
Yeah. Amen.
Go home and say, man, church was good.
Praise the Lord.
But we're not going anywhere. Don't get
Amen.
I know some of you already headed for the door. Sit down. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. I have something from heaven this morning.
Amen.
It's going to change your life. Jake, could you check the speaker? I'm going to make sure that everyone out there listening, it's good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. I'm passionate about everybody getting a chance to hear the word. Let's pray before we get into the word and believe God for utterance. Lord, we thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for all the word sins. For you said in your word that the word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Jesus, you said that if we would know the truth, it would set us free. So it's not so much that there is a truth, it's that we have to know what the truth is. So Lord, I thank you for helping us. Give us wisdom and revelation and insight into your word. Father, help me to speak with the oracles of God, and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, you know what every single person needs to hear here this morning. I don't know what everyone needs to hear. So, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth to speak, you can speak words through me in season, and I get the bullseye to keep us honest. Father, it'll be like I'm speaking just to them, one-on-one, in review, because you are so wonderful and so good, and it's a sign on you that you have more for them. And this is a place where they can be fed, and this is a place where they can grow and experience all that you have. So, Father, we thank you for that. We're in full anticipation, exaggerated expectation we have this morning from the Lord, Jesus.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now, in the beginning, I'll let you a little bit of teaching, but let me get through this to set the stage. I'll tell you, today's lesson is one of those things that will happen to you for the rest of your life, that will be a day-by-day type of thing, but it will change your life.
Amen.
Pastor, so, you need to say that to get our attention. Well, yeah, but it's true.
Okay? Amen.
But it's true what I just said. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 says, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your, everybody say my.
My.
He's talking about you now. He says, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. So the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, that we are a three-part being, that we're made up of a spirit, soul, and body. You know, in the body of Christ, many times the spirit and the soul get mixed and thrown into one bag together, and people refer to the soul when they should be referring to the spirit, or they'll refer to the spirit when they should be referring to the soul. But the Bible makes it clear that they're separate. Spirit, soul, and body. Basically, you are a tripartite, if I'm even saying that word right, being. Yeah. And you're a three-part being. What are you? You are a spirit. When you die, your spirit goes on to the eternal realm. The spirit man is the real you. This is not the real you. This is the shell or the earth suit that the real you lives in, right? We know that because when someone passed away, the body stays, but the spirit goes. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Lord says. And so, we are a spirit, but the Bible says we also have a soul. Well, that word soul is a word for mind, will, and emotions. the majority of the time in the New Testament when the soul is referred to, it's not talking about the recreated spirit on the inside of man. It's talking about a person's mind, will, and emotion. And then the Bible says that you have a body where the soul, the mind, will, and emotion, and the spirit reside. So we see we're a three-part being, but now I'm going to show you what the Word says that we are to do with those three things. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. This is a message that can save you a lot of heartache financially. This is a message that can save you a lot of heartache physically from stumbling into things that you shouldn't. You know, when you throw a pebble into the water, how many of you know the water doesn't just not do anything? There's a splash, but then there's a ripple.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes when people die, the decisions that they make, and the places that they go, and the job that they take, or the things that they do, cause ripple effects in their life. Now, the ripples end, praise God, that effect is enough. But why even go through the ripple? Why even go through the ripple? It's unnecessary. We'll show you what I mean from the Word of God. It doesn't mean you'll be free from testing trials,
right,
but it does mean you'll be free from being overtaken. So Romans 12 and verse 1, remember your three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. He said in Romans 12 verse 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, do you see that there?
Yeah.
A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says, which is your rational act of worship. Reasonable act of worship. So the Bible tells you what to do with one third of the being that you are with the body. The Bible says to what? Present it to God, holy unto Him. Now I know. How that thing goes. When you say the word holy, and it's one of the dirtiest four-letter words in the church today. It shouldn't. People think that holiness has passed away. The Bible says that a way of worshiping God is taking your body and presenting it to the Father as holy and acceptable. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that know ye not that your body is a temple or a dwelling of the Holy One, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives
in
you. Praise Him. Now, so the Bible says to present your body holy to God. Now, I know, don't get nervous. We're not going to be talking about this the whole service. Oh, don't start shooting daggers at me with your eyes. I'm just preaching the Bible. The Bible says to be clean, be ye separate, come out from among them, and be ye holy, for I am holy. I know in the church world, in a lot of seeker-sensitive churches, what are those? Those are churches that will just tell you anything to fluff your ears, to make you feel good. Listen, the word preached will make you feel good because it'll change your life. You don't want someone to stand up here and to fluff things around with you. You want to be told the truth. But I know in seeker-sensitive churches, they say, live however you want to, and the grace of Jesus will cover you. Now, thank God for the grace.
Yeah.
Thank God for the mercy when we stumble. But when we start purposely putting ourselves in wrong places, doing wrong things, and not living according to the Word of God, that's called danger.
Yeah.
The Bible says, he that sows to the flesh or the body will reap destruction. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's not good to step over into the devil's kingdom. Now, on the balance side of that, thank God when we do miss it, there's mercy.
Amen.
Thank God when we do falter and fail, Jesus is there with his arms wide open. But why would we want to purposely step over into the devil's territory and sin when the Bible promises us that you will reap destruction from it? The Word says to present your body a living sacrifice. So that's what you do with your body. You present it fit for the Master's use. Lord, my body's yours. I'm not going to go certain places. I'm not going to look at certain things. I'm not going to do certain things with my body because it's yours. It's a sacrifice to you. I lay it on the altar. So that's what you do with your body. I know that's real popular, isn't it? We love to shout when we're preaching about
holiness. Amen.
But start
praise
talking
Lord.
About holiness. And, it's getting a holy hush in here. You can hear a pin drop. Praise the Lord. I'm kidding. I believe we have a bunch of people that want to be holy. And if you don't like holiness, and you don't like the Word, you might want to find a new church. I'm not backing off.
Amen.
I'm going to preach it until Jesus comes back or I go home. One of two. But then in verse 2, it tells you what to do with the second part of the three-part B. thing that you are. So your body, you present it to God as a sacrifice. Verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, transformation or change, right? How many of you know you need changing?
There you go.
Changing from what? Dark to light.
That's
changing
right.
From poor to prosperous. Yeah. Changing from sick to healthy. Yeah. Change from depression to joy. From fear to victory. All these things.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Bible tells you how that transformation is going to happen by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll never find that perfect will of God until you renew your mind. Sounds fancy and churchy. Renewing your mind. It means taking your stinking thinking and putting it off to the side and replacing it with the Word of God, which
right.
is the will of God, which
Amen.
Is the thoughts of God, which is the plan of God. Whatever God says about a situation, that's what you adopt. That's the way you think. You basically brainwash or
yeah.
cleanse your mind with the Word of God.
Praise
you say,
God.
This is the way I was taught. Who
oh,
cares
God.
How What does the Bible say?
That's right.
I was taught things for years that were just opinions and traditions of man,
yeah.
and then I saw what God said about it in the Word. So I had a lot of reprogramming to do in my mind. But that's when the change started happening. And let me just tell you, if you're struggling in sin, and you're struggling with addiction, and you're struggling with your body, the way you're going to change that from verse 1 is by renewing your mind with the Word. Let me give you a quick example to help you. Because people you wouldn't spill the crumbs and just leave them there and throw things in the back seat. You wouldn't come over to my house or walk into somebody else's house in the church and just kick your feet up on the recliner, walk to the fridge, you know, uninvited. The family's kind of looking at you like, what are you doing? You know why you wouldn't do it? Because it's not yours. It's not
yeah.
your property.
Yeah.
And so because of that, because you have that knowledge, you don't dare to do anything to other people's property because you know you could get in trouble for that.
Right.
That it's not right to do. But what if we had our minds renewed? That
yeah.
this body is
That's
not
right.
ours.
Yeah.
That this body is the temple. That the very presence of God dwells on the inside of this thing. How much
Amen.
Better would we
yeah.
treat it?
Amen.
How much better would we take care of it? How much better would we just make sure to only put it in the right places? Because the Spirit of God is housed on the inside. If someone gave you something that was so expensive,
or maybe a piece of jewelry, would you just leave that out for anybody to come and grab it and do anything? No, wouldn't you put it away? Wouldn't you put it in a...
Lock it away
in
something that you don't understand the treasure you have on the inside.
Greatest need that they'll have. See, when you replace your thoughts with God's thoughts, when you think right, you'll believe right. When you believe right, you'll speak right. When you speak right, Mark 11:23 says you'll have right. Praise God. So it all comes with a brainwashing of the Word. Not leading you off a cliff drinking the Kool-Aid. We're talking about the Word of God. So the Bible says to renew your mind, present your body holy to God. Anywhere in those verses did the Bible tell you that you should be led in life by your mind and by your body? Nowhere do you see it. The only thing you're to do with your mind and body is to present it to God and to renew it. But how many of you know, I've been there, I'm telling on myself, and there's people all over in the body of Christ that are being led and making decisions based on their own thoughts and based on what feels good in their flesh. And the Bible says don't do that. In fact, I'm going to show you what it tells you to be led by. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. This will save people a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of financial trial, a lot of wrong moves, a lot of wasted time will be saved here this morning if you'll listen to the Word of God. Romans 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Bible tells the body of Christ and the children of God how you're to be led in this life, how you're to make decisions, how you're to decide where to go, what to do, should I or shouldn't I. Big decisions in life do not come from the flesh realm. They do not come from the mental arena. They come from the Spirit of God. Now, Heather, jump to verse 16. I want to show you real quick how the Spirit does that, because you might say, well, that verse talks about the Spirit of God. I know that there's difference. There's my spirit, and then there's the Spirit of God. Well, they work together. Look what it says in verse 16. It says the Spirit should be Himself, talking about the Holy Ghost. When you got born again, the Bible says the Spirit of God. You've always had your Spirit on the inside of you, but when you got born again, the Spirit of God came on the inside of you, recreated your spirit. That's why it's called born again. You're not born again naturally. You're born again spiritually. Your body doesn't change, but your spirit does. And the Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. So there's some communication going on in that spirit realm of the Spirit of God speaking to our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you go back to verse 14, where it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How does God lead you? God, remember the Holy Ghost, in John chapter 16, I believe, He says, "Whatsoever the Holy Spirit hears, that's what He declares unto you." The Holy Ghost hears from heaven and then speaks to your spirit. So for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will tell your spirit what to do, and that's what you're to be led by. But so many people are led by the dollar bill. So many people are led by, if it feels good, it must be God. So many people are led by playing lottery with their life. They're pulling up to life's decisions, and they're grabbing the slot machine, and they're pulling down, and they're hoping that their triple sevens come up, or triple cherries come up. Why? They're just hoping that the decision they made was God. They haven't consulted Him. They haven't followed Him. The money was good, or it felt good. Or some people might say, it's challenging to do this what I'm supposed to do. And they think, because it's challenging, because there's a test, it must not be God, and they back off, never consulting with God at all. That's dangerous. I said that's dangerous. Very dangerous. The Bible says nowadays the way you're led is the Spirit of God. Now go with me to Proverbs 20:27. I told you it was going to be a little teachy at first, but then we're going to get a rocking and rolling here. Praise the Lord. If you're wondering, if you're new with us, I usually preach for about 40 to 45 minutes. I always like to let visitors know that, because, man, I've heard of churches that go 3-4 hours, and boy, I don't know. I would go, praise God for those churches. They're doing their thing. But, man, I'd have a hard time. I've learned the golden rule of ministry, that the heart can't endure any more than the hind end can stand. Right? Once the lump starts a-going, everything starts a-going. So we try to get you out of here before the numbness sets in. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 20 and verse 27, now notice this. It says, the Spirit of man. The Spirit of man. Aren't you a three-part being? Spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says the Spirit of man, get this now, is the candle of the Lord. Now, nowadays, maybe we don't use candles as much. I thought I had my phone in here. It's not a big deal. But anyways, on my phone, I have a flashlight, right? And if the lights go out, I don't run for my candles anymore. I run for my flashlight. But they do the same thing, right? And what does a candle or a flashlight do? Let's pretend that this pen right here is a candle or a flashlight, and the lights go out, and let's say there was no windows. In my Olean church, there are no windows in the sanctuary. So if the lights were to go out, it would be pitch black. Let's say it was the same way here, and boom, I knew in my pulpit, I had my phone, I pulled it up, turned the light on, turned that flashlight on. What would that flashlight be meant to do, like a candle would? It would keep me from the chair I can't see from bumping into it. It would keep me from walking into the pulpit and hurting myself. It would keep me from stumbling and tripping over the guitar or the speakers or the cord. That's what it's meant to do. A flashlight in situations like that are to keep you safe. And the Bible says that God uses your spirit like a candle. The way He's going to guide and direct you into His truth, into things without stumbling, into years of regret, without having years of regret, is by the candle of the Lord, which is the spirit of man. And then it tells you where it's located. It's not in your flesh, it's not in your head. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. Praise God. That gut instinct, that spirit of man is located in the center of man, in that belly, in that heart region. That's where the spirit of man and also the Holy Ghost has taken up residency in your life. So the Bible says that we're led by the Spirit of God, right? Now, we don't have time to turn there, but I'm going to just mention to you, doesn't Proverbs 3 in verse 5 say, trust in the Lord with all your head? No! Trust in the Lord with all your flesh. And if there's goosebumps, it must be good. If the tears start flowing, then it has to be God. If I'm getting the chills, it has to be a move of God. Not necessarily. For trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding or your own thinking. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. How will He direct your paths? The leading of the Spirit. But God tells you in that verse, you never have to miss it ever again. You never have to make a wrong financial move, a wrong relationship move, a wrong move with your kids, a wrong move with your business, a wrong move with your job, a wrong move with your family. If you'll acknowledge Him in all your way, He'll direct your paths. He's not a liar. He said He'd do it. Glory to God. Go with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges is in the beginning of the Bible where all your pages are still crispy and brand new. Judges chapter 6. Oh boy. Judges 6 and verse 36. The treasure we have on the inside, most believers have no idea about. They go through this life ignorant to whatever God has done for them, and they miss out. God is trying to lead them. You see, God will not force you to do anything. He'll allow you to be blessed. He'll allow you to not be blessed. He's a gentleman. He'll lead you, and He'll prompt you, and He'll encourage you, but He's not going to force you. It takes your cooperation. Judges 6 and verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. He's basically saying, Lord, I'm going to test this now. If the fleece is... Which one is this one? Wet? If the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, I'm going to know that You'll deliver us. What's He saying? I want the writing on the wall, Lord. I'm testing You to find out Your answer. If I wake up and the fleece is soaking wet and the ground is dry, I know You're with us. And it was so, verse 38, for He rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. So now he's saying, okay, Lord, that was good one time, but we need to double check this thing. Now we're going to switch it around. We want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. And it was so, and it happened. Now why am I bringing that up to you? Have you ever uttered... Or have you ever heard Christians say, when facing a major decision in life, at a crossroads, our decisions have ripple effects. Absolutely. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm laying out a fleece for God? It is the most unscriptural thing that a born-again New Testament Christian could ever say. And so many people are living their lives by laying out the fleece and testing God. And he said the whole time, I will lead you by the Spirit of God, not some outward writing on the wall, not some gadget and gizmo and some process on the outside. He said, I will lead you in your spirit. I remember talking to somebody that was selling a piece of property, and it caught me by surprise that they were selling it, and they're born again. They love Jesus. They're on their way to heaven. We're not picking on anybody, just trying to point out an example here. And they said to me, I said, you're selling this? What? I'm surprised you're selling this. And they, I said, is that what God's leading you to do? They said, well, I'm putting out my fleece, Pastor Mike. I said, oh, Jesus. Here we go, Lord. I didn't say that to him. That's what I was thinking. And I said, they said, I'm putting out my fleece. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, I'm putting the for sale sign up. If it sells, it was God. If it doesn't, it must not have been. That's like saying, I'm going to run that red light. If I get smoked, that was God's will. If I make it through that red light, it was God's will. No! We have a responsibility to play in here. It's not about laying out the fleece. Well, if this happens, it must have been God. Find out what the mind of the Spirit is and be led by the Holy Ghost. That's a dangerous way to live life. That's a dangerous... Well, you know, I got offered a better job. It must be God. Really? Just because the money's more? Now, it could be God, but doesn't... I had somebody as the associate pastor of the Jamestown Church. They said to me, they walked aside, they pulled me aside with their husband. They said, we're moving to Syracuse. I said, oh, yeah, why? Why? We got a better job and it pays more. And instantly, the Spirit of God said, dig. So I started digging. I said, what church are you going to go to? Now, mind you, these are two people that week by week would come up and say how the church has changed their life. I'll tell you, you get in the right church that teaches the Word of God, everything will change. It's not the name of the church. It's not the minister. It's what's coming out in that church. It's the Word of God. And sadly to say, I can speak on this because I grew up in a lot of them. My wife grew up in a lot of them. And a lot of my family are still in them, are in churches that do not even touch the Bible. They just show up thinking they're going to check off some religious checklist with God. That's not where the change comes. The change comes from the Word. And their lives were changed. And they said, we're going, the money's more. I said, what church are you going to go to? And it stopped them right in their tracks. They said, oh, I'm sure we'll find one there. I said, really? You want to bank your life on that? I said, did God tell you to go? Well, no, I just figured the money was more. Oh, really? Well, let's take a look at what the Word says about that. Genesis chapter 13. Now, can it be God and be good? Absolutely. But I'll tell you this. The devil can wrap things up in a pretty package. You know you can wrap dynamite up and make it look real nice, and then you undo that thing, and boom. And then there are things outwardly that don't look so hot, that the situation don't seem so good, but God's leading you into that situation. And you go in there, and you get to the other side of the mess, and it's the most glorious thing you've ever had. That's why you don't take chances. You just be led by the Spirit of God. Genesis chapter 13, hallelujah. Genesis 13. I know this is not what popular Christianity would want to say. Popular Christianity would want to say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, take the responsibility off the believer and just go with this sovereignty of God. Listen, God is only sovereign to His Word. He can't violate His Word. Praise God. People say, God can do anything? No, He can't. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says Jesus was in His own hometown. He could there do. Not that He would not. He could not. The Son of God could there do no mighty work except lay his hands on a few sick folk, and he marveled at the people's unbelief. Jesus, everywhere he went, wanted to do mighty works. We see that in his life. But he got to Mark chapter 6, and the people didn't cooperate, and they missed out on the blessing. It's not que sera, sera. Old time religion, old time Christianity, I told the Lord, I said, when you called me to minister, I said, I'll preach it from the front page to the back page. You've saved my life. You've changed my life a lot. And the one thing I'm excited about to do is just to cut down the walls of religion. Because religion and tradition has been sucking the life out of people and telling people, well, that's just your lot in life. That's just the way it's going to be. No, it's not. Faith will change things. Faith will make you overcomers. Hallelujah. How can 2 million people and the children of Israel be kept out and wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Their carcasses die in the wilderness. But only two, Caleb and Joshua, decided to believe God, and they said, only you are going in. Shows you it's possible. It's possible. It isn't que sera, sera. It's whatever you will do, you'll have. Praise God. Genesis 13 and verse 1. Now we're talking about being led. Told you the story about the people being led by the paycheck. Praise God for increased pay. But if it, I'll tell you what, I'm not sacrificing my spiritual life for a paycheck. I'm not sacrificing hearing the word of God and playing myself in a local church that has changed my whole life for the dollar bill. No, my God's bigger than my paycheck. I know. This is crazy. But it's the truth. So many times people forfeit the word of God and a pastor that will pray and is following the Holy Ghost for the almighty dollar as if God can't provide for you. Someone needs to say this stuff. Say, well, Pastor, you might not get anybody back next week. Oh, well, I'll preach to the chairs. I will preach to the chairs. I don't care. I'm going to stick with the Bible. Genesis 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Lot was his nephew. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was so great that they could not dwell together. They had too much stuff. A man of God with stuff. I know it. 2020 would do an expose on Abraham. Oh, he was so rich, richest man of the time. They would expose him and say, what does he need with all that stuff? Don't they know down in this city that there's all this poverty? Why can't Abraham get over it? There's always going to be somebody that has less than you, and there's always going to be somebody that has more than you. Stop criticizing the one that has more than you, because the same people that have less than you can look at your life and say, why do they have that? Is that what you want people to do to you? No, you don't. Praise God. So let's just walk in love and let God deal with people. I don't know why I said all that. Well, I do know, because there's utterance to say it. Gotta say what the Lord says to say. The Bible says the land was not able to bear them, for their substance was so great they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. I almost said the parasites. I'm sure they were there too, but verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, look what Abram said, man of God. Let there be no strife, I pray, between me and you, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren. Let me just take a little side journey real quick here and give you something. This is free, no charge, but it'll bless you, praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of James that where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Why does the Bible say, blessed are the peacemakers? You know why lots of people in a relationship, whether they're right or wrong, won't just make it right? It's because of pride. Well, let me just tell you what you're doing when you're attempting to step over into a place of strife. Let me just tell you, number one, you can't afford to do it. Because the Bible says when you do it, following is confusion in every evil work. Brother James taught us that. So when you decide to get into strife with somebody, whether it be a spouse, a family member, a friend, a coworker, whatever, and you choose to get into that strife, guess what you're doing? Opening the window, Satan, every war, come on into my life. Wreak havoc. And by the way, the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why does the word say, let not the sun go down on your anger? Because when you go to sleep mad and in strife, you give the devil a whole night of disobedience to come right in and waltz in. That's why you make things right. That's why in a relationship, whether you're right or wrong, you make the situation right. You don't care about pride. I can't afford to be in strife. So whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I'm going to do my part to make the situation right. Why? Because I can't afford strife. Abraham knew, let there be no strife. Strife is not of God. He says, we're brethren here. Let's not do this. In verse 9, he says, is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, Lot should have done one of two things here. The first thing he should have done was seek God and what to do. The second thing he should have done is said, listen, it ain't worth leaving my place of supply. I will downsize a little bit to stay with you. Why do you think Lot was so stinking rich? Because he was hooked up with Abraham.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, who you're connected with matters.
Amen.
Absolutely it matters.
That's right.
But anyways, the number one thing he should have done was seek God. Abraham said, there's strife here. Let's just separate. Look at what it says in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes to God and sought his plan. No. Lot lifted up his eyes. And notice what he did. He beheld all the plain of the Jordan. Well, was it good? It was well watered. Which agriculture? That's a good place to go. Well watered everywhere. All the herds that he had. He'd have to go somewhere that was well watered. He'd have to go somewhere where the land looked good. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Even as the Garden of Eden, the land that Lot looked at, it looked that good. Well, I'll tell you, I'll do something to your mind and your flesh.
Sure.
But Pastor Mike, you don't understand. We need more money. But Pastor Mike, I need these extra hours to take me out of church. You don't understand. See, you're valuing the paycheck and the dollar bill more than the spiritual side of your life. Absolutely. Now, I'm not trying to be incompassionate. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You put God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. See, a lot of reason that people are sacrificing their spiritual life for a paycheck is because they're so afraid and so in fear. They have the whole system backwards. They're seeking the stuff, and they're constantly chasing and reaching for it and not getting it. Yet the people that will bury themselves in the house of God, that will be in their appointments, that will do it God's way, things just seem to work out for them. Why does that happen? Because they're doers of the word. Now, if you're in a job that takes you out of church, I'm not telling you to go call your boss and quit, but seek God. Put some faith on there for your hours to change, for a better job. I mean, you think, man, God's not big enough to give me a better job or change my life. He's God. He parted the Red Sea. He raised Jesus from the dead. Put a little faith in the situation. I'm not telling you to go out and put your family in jeopardy and quit your job today. Now, if the Holy Ghost told you to do it as fast as you can. But put some faith on it. Say, Lord, I need to be in the house of God, and I know it. The Word says so. Lord, I'm believing you for a better job. What do I do, Father? I'm believing you for better hours. God could do these things. Absolutely. So anyways, he lifted up his eyes. He beheld the plain of Jordan. He saw that it was good. Verse 11. Oh, the danger. Then Lot chose. When did Lot chose? After he saw that it was good. It appeased his mind and it appeased his flesh. He said, how can it go? How can it be wrong? How can it be wrong, right? It looks good. It seems good. Feels good. Ooh, goosebumps. Chills. Woohoo! Then Lot chose him. One translation said that Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan. Lot journeyed east and they separated themselves one from another. Now I'm looking around here. I want to make sure to keep this as G-rated as possible. But go ahead and study the life of Lot. See what happened to Lot. See the disgusting perversion that one decision to go to Sodom and Gomorrah had a ripple effect down through his whole family, through his kids, through his grandkids, his whole life from one decision.
Yeah.
Say, Pastor, you're being harsh. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to save you from despair.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One decision. He ends up being kidnapped. Abraham has to rescue his rear.
Yeah.
Ends up being kidnapped. Then he ends up almost allowing people to come in, perversion that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, to have their way with his daughters. Then he loses everything and ends up in a cave with his daughters. He used to be rich, and now he's hiding out in a cave. And go and study it. I'll keep it. I'll give you some curiosity and go read it later. You talk about soap opera. Lot's life, very different people. Abraham and Lot. Abraham honored God, and it trickled down through his whole family. Lot didn't honor God, and it affected everything. He chose for himself.
Yeah.
Do you think God would have told him, don't go down there.
Yeah.
It ain't good there, and it ain't going to turn out good there. But he never even consulted God.
Yeah.
The Bible says you have to acknowledge him in all your ways. He's a gentleman. He will not force himself on you. He will not make you do the right thing. His plan is not going to fall into your lap like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree. You are going to have to seek God. You have not because you ask not. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right? Praise the Lord.
Good. Good work.
We're almost done here. Bear with me. How does he do it then? Go to Colossians 3. Okay then, so Pastor Mike, you're telling me I need to be led by my Spirit? What does that look like? Practically, this is what's going to change your life if it already hasn't been changed. I have used this and been spared from things, kept from things. I've violated this and I've seen the repercussions of it. Colossians 3 in verse 15 says, notice you got to allow it, let the peace of God, do you see that there? The peace of God rule or reign or have authority where? In your hearts. Well, what did the Bible say? Excuse me, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Don't ever forget this statement. Peace is the compass of God for your life. You want to know which way God's directing you? You don't need an angelic visitation. You don't need Jesus to appear in a revelation, in a visitation to you. You don't need to lay out the fleece. You don't need to look for the writing on the wall, some sign. I'm so tired of hearing Christians say, it's all lining up. It must be God. You don't think the devil can put things pretty for you and make it bad and then it explodes in your face because you never sought God? I had many things that looked wonderful. And I went down that road because it looked wonderful. I thought, God's not in this. God's not in this. And it's too late to back out now. I got to clean up the mess. Absolutely. You don't think the devil's the most wiliest, sneakiest, dude there is, and he's good at what he does. He made Adam and Eve. He told them, you eat from the tree, you won't die. In fact, you'll be a god. He wrapped that up so pretty. Look at, we're still reaping from the curse of the fall. Still reaping from it. One decision. Hallelujah. Yep. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now go with me to the Amplified in this. Heather, if you'd put that up there. Of course, you know I played baseball. I'm sure many people are acclimated with sports. But, you know, I don't know where everybody is in life. And after one time somebody said they didn't know who LeBron James was, I couldn't believe it. And so I said, okay, I really need to make sure everybody knows what I'm talking about here. In sports, of course, there's referees, there's judges, there's umpires. Now, in baseball, pre-instant replay days. Now, nowadays they can change calls. But before instant replay was available, when an umpire said you were out, guess what? Doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter how safe you were, you're out. If the umpire says it's a strike, and you don't care if the ball is up at your head, if he called it a strike, guess what? It's a strike. No matter what the judge says, pre-instant replay days, it went, right? And the Bible was written pre-instant replay days. Yeah! You know, things have been changed now, but, you know, there's times, calls, I mean, some of the umpires that I had growing up, my goodness. You'd wonder if they'd even be able to pass an eye test. I'm serious. I'm not just being a complainer. I'm telling you. I'll tell you, it's bad, some of the ones that I grew up with, you know, and you just try to be kind as you can to them, but they say you're out. You're out. No matter if the whole stadium saw that you were safe. If the umpire says it, you listen to the umpire. And guess what happens? If you argue with the umpire, you get tossed out of the game.
That's right. Yeah.
You get in trouble.
That's right.
And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire. Where? Continually in your hearts. Now look at what it does. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. See, you're kicking them around in the wrong place. This is not where your answer's found. This is where your answer's found, in your heart. Let peace like an umpire. What does that mean? If you're facing a decision, a life-changing thing, something, even the smallest thing, and in your heart, peace. What is peace? Peace is that tranquil, that calm feeling, right? Let me tell you what peace isn't. You know, I have an idea. I've said this before, but it's the only thing I can think of at the time. After service, let's all pile in my truck, and let's go down to the super-duper, and let's rob that place. You with me? Now, something about that on the inside of you just does not sit right. That check in your heart, that stop sign. Peace is the green light, the freedom. Right? Laying in warm honey. That's peace. Maybe it's still sticky, but it's peace. Hallelujah. Anyways, sorry again for that visual. Let peace, like the umpire, rule in your hearts, settling with finality. What do I do? What do I do? Peace knows. Peace knows. Peace knows. People violate peace all the time and they get into trouble. They never consulted God. God's not in your flesh. God's not in your mind. He's in your heart. He's in your heart. I told this story before, but I'll tell it again. It's worth repeating. In 2004, I got married in June. In that summer, that spring and summer, I worked in the oil and gas fields in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania. And I'd drive down there every single morning, about a 20-minute drive, and I'd park at a gentleman, the foreman of the project. His name was Fred. He was in his 60s, and we called him the Hulk. Not because he looked like the Green Hulk, but he looked like Hulk Hogan. I mean, he had the muscles, he had the mustache, and he ate it up. He loved it, you know, called him the Hulk. And I'd meet him there every morning. And they had a farm in a lot of land behind the house, and they had a couple little ankle biter dogs, and they had an Australian shepherd named Cowboy, 1-year-old hyperactive dog. And that dog would meet me in the driveway every day. He took a liking to me. I love dogs that are a little bit bigger like that. And I just loved on that dog. When I would have lunch, I'd come all the way back to my truck. I'd bring snacks for him. And he liked me before the snacks. But once I gave the snacks, he really liked me. And I loved hanging out with him. I looked forward to it. It made my job better. I'd stay there after work and play with him. Well, Fred and his wife noticed the liking that I took to the dog and the liking the dog took to me. And so they said, you know, we're in our 60s. This dog needs to play more. We're just not able to do it with our lifestyle and where we're at in life. We're not able to give the dog the exercise that it needs. Would you like to have the dog? When he uttered those words, in my heart, a stop sign went up and said, stop! Don't do it! You know that, that you know what I'm talking about. That, don't violate, When you get, don't violate it. And the stop sign went up. And dummy me, I said, let me go talk to my wife. Now, here's what you don't know. Courtney grew up her whole life having dogs. She just married me. My dad had a debilitating stroke in 2004 of April. I got married in June. So he just got out of the nursing home, and we were going to move into his place with him and to take care of him. And there was a little Cocker Spaniel. I'm almost finished here. Little Cocker Spaniel named Duke. Duke was my dog, but became my dad's dog because my dad could not work anymore. He was there all the time. You know, sometimes animals can be quite a comfort to people. And this dog became just best buds with my dad. And my dad loved him and was just so close to him. And it helped my dad in his therapy. And my wife, you know, she don't want this little dog. She wants her own big dog. And here I'm in Mariner, you know, this knight in shining armor. Here's now we're living with my dad in a small space. She can't even have a dog. And now I'm being told I can have a dog that I love, that is super friendly, and they're going to give it to me for free. He said, you want the dog? Heart said no. I said, I would talk to my wife. My heart, I'm driving home. I said, what are you doing? Don't mention it to her. Don't mention it to her. Because the minute I mention the dog to her, it's over. It's over. There's no going back. I got home, I walked. How many of you know what it's like just keep walking through those walls of stop signs? You know, you go through enough stop signs and it'll catch up to you.
Yeah.
You might get through a couple of them.
Sure.
But eventually you're going to get T-boned.
Yeah.
Eventually it's not going to work out for you.
Right.
And I kept going through the stop sign and I said, Fred's offered me, you know that dog I was talking to you about? They said we can have it for free. She said, let's go look tonight. So we did. The Holy Spirit said, why are you getting in this car? Don't do it. You thought it was bad before. Wait till she sees it. She got down on her knees. That dog came out, licking her face, loving on her. Oh, I love Cowboy. We'll take him. Well, I left him there because he had never had a shot or a flea bat or anything. And on the farm, he had it. His fur was awful. The Holy Spirit said, don't do it. I committed to do it. The next day, I had a vet appointment for him to get groomed and to get all his shots. All said and done, it cost me about $400 to get this farm dog. The Spirit of God's telling me no the whole time. I bring that dog home. Now, mind you, this dog has been around other dogs, is the friendliest dog, playing with these little dogs. I get that dog into my house with my dad, who's got like this little therapy Cocker Spaniel, and Cowboy, within the first 5 minutes, almost kills that dog right off the bat. Never saw it coming. That dog was like Jekyll and Hyde. You got that dog in that environment, and everything changed. The Holy Ghost was trying to warn me. I couldn't see it. On the surface, it seemed good. On the surface, it seemed wonderful. It seemed like a blessing. But just because things look good, the devil can wrap up dynamite in a pretty package. Praise the Lord. On the other hand, and I'm closing here in 5 minutes. On the other hand, Paul was told to go to Macedonia. Remember? In Acts 16. The Spirit of God appeared to him and said, go to Macedonia. So he obeyed God and went to Macedonia. And what happened? He ended up getting beaten, stripped down naked, and thrown in prison. Remember he cast the devil out of that girl that was telling fortunes?
Yeah.
Well, it tells you what the Lord thinks about that garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Cast the devil right out of her. See, the devil has supernatural too. You know why people cling to that stuff so much? Because the world is craving a supernatural experience. And isn't it amazing? People say, well, we can talk to the other side. Well, if you believe the Bible, that's garbage, because when you die, you go one of two places. You don't hover around in this realm. And you know what? What do they do? It's amazing. I'm on this rabbit trail for a reason here. It's amazing. They'll say things like, did that person have green shoelaces? Oh my God, they did! They did have green shoelaces. Like that's going to matter in their life. But because it gives them some sort of glimpse and hope of the supernatural, boom, they latch onto it and it takes them right away from Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't think the devil has powers to tell people some things about somebody's past and some things about somebody's future? He absolutely does. Why? Because he's always the faults of what God does. He always tries to copycat what God does in the supernatural.
Yeah.
And that woman was doing that, making her master much money, the Bible said. Paul cast the devil out of her.
Yeah.
She was no longer useful to that man. That man got mad and beat them and put them in prison. Now, if you were Paul and Silas, you could think, my God, this must not be the Lord.
Right.
Here I am in prison. Things didn't work out for me, but it was God the whole time, because they ended up changing that region. And in Paul's house at midnight, we're heard singing praises to praying to God, right? They knew they were in the will of God. You can't go by what it looks like. You can't go by what it feels like. That's why in relationships, young people, clean your ears out. So what if she's pretty? So what if he looks good? What does the Lord say about it? You don't think in the dating process they can hang the moon for you? That courtship process is when everything looks pretty. That's when everything looks good. See, that baby's amen to me already. That baby is jumping out of this. That baby's going to marry right. God can dress something up, or the devil can dress up and look so pretty, seems so good. What does the Spirit say? I love Brother Chris DiBico's story. He was a single man, saving himself for God. You know, God's plan is not for you to date 100 people and just go out there and feel it out. Why not just seek God and find the right one and be done with all the garbage?
Yeah.
See, that's not possible. Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is if you'll seek Him. I know it's not popular and it's what the world doesn't do, but it is possible.
Yeah.
And Brother Chris D'Amico was setting himself aside. He's a minister that travels into the churches and things, setting himself aside for God, being holy, and another minister friend of him said, listen, you're getting up there. You need to go on a date with this girl. She's runner-up Miss Louisiana, so obviously she's very, very beautiful girl. He meets with her. He says, fine, just to appease his friend. His friend, they go on a double date. Runner-up Miss Louisiana is sitting across from him, and the Spirit of God the whole time is telling him, this is not the one. This is not the one for you. I mean, she's pleasing to the eyes. She's got a personality. She's well. She loves Jesus. And the Holy Ghost said, no, wrong one. And he waited. And guess who he married? Miss Louisiana. He did. Holy Ghost told him, this is the right one. Tell you, young people, dangerous. 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 That's why I don't let my kids say, what do you be when you grow up? Whatever God wants me to be. Whatever God wants. It's not about you, Caleb. It's not about you, Abby. What does the Lord want you to do? Because that's where your blessing is. But you got to seek God on these things. You got to find out what God says about these things. And you might say, Pastor, it's hard. It's hard. I don't know. You ever been in that position where you're like, is it me or God? 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 I don't know. Is it me or God? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, write this down. It's the last verse we'll look at. Hebrews 4:12. Actually, Heather, pull it up. Hebrews 4:12. Praise God. Trying to get you out before 11:30. In the King James, please. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, or it says making a dividing line of soul, mind, will, and emotions, and spirit where God leads you. The more you're in the word, the more you're in the presence of God, all that muddy water and that chaos that you don't know the decisions to make, The Bible says they become a dividing line. You ever made a pro and con list? On one side you got pros. On one side you got cons. You got the line down the middle that clearly divide them. The Bible says the Word can do that. The more you're in the Word, the more you're in the Spirit, the more you're around God, those things that are confusing, the fog will start to lift. A dividing line will be from your will, God's will. The way to go, the way not to go. And it'll become clear to you. It's not hard to follow the Holy Ghost. It can't be for a dummy like me. God made it simple for people like me, and I'm saying that to be truthful. I don't have any great education, not much naturally I can add to this world, but I know how to hear the voice of God. And every time that I follow the Spirit of God, it's always worked out to a T. Absolutely. It's when I've done it my own way that I've had to clean up the mess. That message will change your life if you'll do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. We're blessed. We're so grateful, so thankful for it. Oh, Lord, this is what we needed to hear, Father. Lord, there's things that people... Lord, you want to lead people into more financially in their businesses. Well, it's going to be based on what decisions they make. Father, relationships. You marry the wrong person, it can ruin your life. You marry the wrong person, it can ruin your life. Now, don't get into condemnation if you're married, praise God. Don't let the devil give you the thought, I married the wrong person. Just get that out of your mind right now. God's not a God of yesterdays and beating yourself up. We're talking about going forward in the future. You'd be led by the Spirit of God. So Lord, help them. Help them to be doers of this message, Father. To seek your plan. To seek your plan. To follow after peace. Yes, it might seem good. Yes, it might look good. But are you in it, Father? If you are, great. If you're not, then we're not going to go for it. Lord, we thank you for the Word this morning. Thank you for our help. We thank you that we're changed from into your image, more into glory. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. Please bow your heads, please close your eyes. Ask yourself this question: if today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? You know, that's a reality for a lot of people. I mean, check the paper every day. There's it's new, right? And that'll be us someday if Jesus doesn't come back. Well, the Bible says you can know for sure the answer to that. If your answer isn't, I know I'd go to heaven, that means you need Jesus. The Bible says all you have to do is call on His name. If you believe He died and rose again, you're a candidate for salvation. Say, well, my church attendance, it doesn't have anything to do with your church attendance. Well, I'm not that generous, it has nothing to do with it. Well, I did this, it has nothing to do with what you did or didn't do. It has everything to do with what Jesus did. If you believe He died and rose again, you are a candidate, you are qualified for salvation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. My goodness, don't walk out of here on that fence of eternity. It's a free gift. It doesn't cost you anything. We're not going to embarrass you. You're not going to come to the front. You're not going to stand up. You're not going to say anything on your own. But if you can say, I don't know if I am saved, but I sure would like to be. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand, and then I'll tell you to put it right back down. We're not trying to embarrass anybody or put anybody on the spot, but I don't know everybody personally. I don't know everybody's spiritual place in God right now. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus in this building at all? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that everybody under the sound of my voice, Father, is walking with you and is on their way to heaven. But if by chance there's somebody that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, whether it be in this building or on live stream or on the archives, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Savior, that they would call on the name of the Lord and receive that free gift of salvation. Father, we love you, we bless you, thank you for the Word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you got here, don't forget, ladies 18 and over, please pick up a plant, flower, whatever they're called. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, you are dismissed.